For those of you that have been listening to the show now for a while, you know that not only do I host this show, but I also own an advertising agency called Relic. And it's been an interesting journey over the last several years in the process of building this podcast and also helping destinations to build their podcast. Our philosophy on marketing in general for tourism destinations has evolved a lot. And one of the things that we've realized, and if you listened to my New Year's Resolutions episode this year, you've gotten a little taste of this already, but if you are not nurturing the three different types of media, earned media, which is public relations and getting other people to tell your story, paid media, leveraging paid advertising to generate traffic and ultimately get opportunities for people to visit your destination. And then the third one is owned media. And this is where we've found an interesting opportunity for destination marketers. The industry is doing a pretty good job with earned and paid media. But one of the things that's happening is the cost of paid media is going up and up and up every year. And I look at it as hunting versus farming. You know, if your only method of getting food for your family is hunting, it means that you need to kill something every day for your family to eat. I look at owned media more like farming, where if you are doing the work in owned media to build really engaging and entertaining content, and you are building a community, an active community over time, I would consider that more like farming, where when the winter comes or when the difficult times come, if you have filled your silos with farming, then you're not going to have to hunt every single day. And so I want to make sure that all of you that are listening are nurturing all three different types of media. And if you want to know more about how to farm and build owned media content that's going to be a little bit more long-term and a little bit longer lasting than some of the paid media that you're doing, reach out to me, adam@relicagency.com. I would love to chat with you about your strategy and add owned media and teach you how to add owned media as a valuable part of your overall marketing plan. That's adam@relicagency.com. I'm excited to chat with you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Destination Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Stoker. I'm really, really excited for today's episode. We're going to have a lot of fun. I want to remind everybody as we're getting started here, if you're not already following us on the different social platforms at @destination_pod, I got to say, you're missing out on some really good sound bites and things like that from the amazing guests we have on the show. I also want to make sure that everybody joins the Destination Marketers LinkedIn group. I think we've hit 210 members of that group, and it's growing pretty consistently. So we'd love to have you join us there. And also, if you haven't yet left us a rating or a review, please don't forget to do so. And also a reminder to make sure you support our sponsors here on the show, because the sponsors we have on the show really make it possible for us to continue to grow. So with that said, we have a really unique show for you today. You know, at this point, it's no secret that artificial intelligence is going to be a part of our lives, whether it's in our personal lives or our professional lives. And it's absolutely going to be a part of the destination marketing industry. What I decided that would be fun to do today in this episode is I am actually doing a conversation with ChatGPT. Now, no, I didn't say that wrong. It's not ChatGPT we're talking to. We are talking to JP, my business development director at Relic, and we have modified his name to ChatGPT because he will be reading the conversation that I had with ChatGPT. So ChatGPT, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. And that's my own response too, just so you know, I didn't have to get a prompt to say, thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is the real ChatGPT. We're going to get to the digital ChatGPT in just a moment.
JP, I just auditioned my robot voice for Adam and he didn't like it, so I'll just be talking to my normal voice.
Yeah, listen, it's rarely I pull the power card, but I did. I heard the robot voice and it wasn't going to keep us on air. It wasn't going to have us have an effective episode here. So we decided to move on. So I'm sorry for the disappointment, JP, and the audience.
I'm glad we can set some boundaries.
So you guys, everybody just prepare yourselves because ChatGPT and I, when we talk, we have a good time. JP, I wanted you to do this because you are kind of the person in our organization that has done a really deep dive on artificial intelligence. You've been looking at it since before it was cool, right? You've been looking at AI for a long time. And so what I wanted to do is have us first, we're in this episode, we're just going to read the transcript of my discussion with ChatGPT. You're going to play the part of ChatGPT, and I will read the prompts that I gave ChatGPT for this discussion. And then in the follow-up episode to this, I'd really like for you and I to analyze that discussion, talk about ChatGPT. We'll talk about where maybe it got it wrong. Where did it get it right? What concerns should we have if we're trying to use it? How can we prompt it better and get better answers? And then also, what do we feel like is going to be the impact on the tourism industry and the world from artificial intelligence? So thanks for doing this, JP. Really appreciate it.
Hey, of course, this is something that I'm passionate about. It's fascinating. One of my favorite things to nerd out about. So I'm really looking forward to this discussion.
Great. Well, let's dive in. From now on, this will be ChatGPT that we're talking to. And we're going to be, I'll be giving the prompts and you'll hear the prompts as I gave them. And then JP will be reading the part of ChatGPT. So here we go. You ready, JP?
Yeah, that sounds great. Let's dive in.
Awesome. Okay, here we go. I would like to have a conversation with you to be read as a podcast script. I'm going to ask you a series of questions related to the tourism industry, and I want you to be clear in your responses and let me know if my prompts need to improve.
Sure. I'd be happy to help you with your podcast script. Feel free to ask me any questions you have about the tourism industry, and I'll do my best to provide clear and informative answers. If you have any feedback on my responses or prompts, please let me know so I can improve my performance.
Great. First, what is your dream destination? If you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go?
As an AI language model, I don't have personal preferences or desires as I don't have consciousness or feelings. However, I can provide you with information and recommendations on many different destinations based on various factors such as culture, cuisine, natural beauty, and historical significance.
What do you think is regarded as the most unique tourism destination in the world?
There are many unique tourism destinations in the world, each with its own distinct culture, history, and natural wonders. It's hard to say which destination is the most unique as different people have different interests and preferences. However, some destinations that are often considered unique and unusual by travelers include Antarctica, the frozen continent with its pristine wilderness, unique wildlife, and extreme conditions is a destination that only a few travelers can experience. Bhutan, the tiny Himalayan kingdom, has preserved its unique cultures and traditions and is known for its gross national happiness philosophy. Machu Picchu, an ancient Inca city located in the Andes Mountains of Peru, with its stunning mountain scenery, fascinating history, and remarkable engineering. The Galapagos Islands, a volcanic archipelago off the coast of Ecuador, famous for its unique wildlife, including giant tortoises, marine iguanas, and blue-footed boobies. The Great Barrier Reef, the world's largest coral reef system, located off the coast of Australia with its vibrant underwater ecosystem and stunning marine biodiversity. These are just a few examples, and there are many other unique destinations around the world that offers travelers a one-of-a-kind experience.
Thank you for that. The tourism industry has been through a lot over the last several years. Between COVID, rising fuel costs, inflation, and other factors, it's been one challenge after another. If you had to describe the overall state of tourism as an industry, how would you describe it?
The tourism industry has certainly faced many challenges over the past few years, including the COVID-19 pandemic, rising fuel costs, and inflation, as you mentioned. These challenges have had a significant impact on the industry, causing widespread travel restrictions, cancellations, and a decline in demand for travel services. Despite these challenges, the tourism industry has shown remarkable resilience and adaptability. Many businesses in the industry have implemented new health and safety protocols to address the COVID-19 pandemic and have found creative ways to offer travel experiences that meet the changing needs and preferences of travelers. In some regions, the tourism industry has also benefited from the increased popularity of domestic travel, as many people have opted to explore their own countries or nearby destinations instead of traveling internationally. Overall, while the tourism industry has certainly faced significant challenges, is still a vital and important sector of the global economy, providing jobs, income, and opportunities for people around the world. As we continue to navigate the ongoing impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic and other challenges, it'll be important for the industry to remain adaptable and resilient in order to continue serving the needs of travelers and supporting economic growth.
My podcast audience is comprised mostly of people who work in a destination marketing organization. What are some of the practices that were done to market destinations in the past that may have become outdated due to the challenges mentioned in the previous question?
The COVID-19 pandemic and other challenges have certainly had a significant impact on the tourism industry and have led to changes in consumer behavior and preferences that have affected destination marketing practices. Some practices that may have become outdated or less effective due to these changes include, number one, heavy reliance on international tourism. With travel restrictions and safety concerns making international travel more difficult, many destinations have shifted their focus to domestic or regional tourism instead. Number two, traditional media advertising. While traditional media such as TV, radio, and print advertising can still be effective for destination marketing, the rise of social media and digital marketing has made it more important for destinations to have a strong online presence and engage with travelers through social media channels and other digital platforms. Number three, large-scale events and festivals. Many destinations used to rely on large-scale events and festivals to attract visitors, but these types of events have become more difficult to host due to COVID-19 restrictions and safety concerns. Some destinations have shifted to smaller, more intimate events that can be hosted safely, or have found ways to offer virtual events and experiences that can be enjoyed from home. Number four, overcrowding and overtourism. In the past, some destinations may have marketed themselves heavily to attract large volumes of tourists, but this approach can lead to overcrowding and overtourism, which can have negative impacts on the environment and local communities. In response, many destinations are now focusing on sustainable tourism practices and promoting responsible travel behavior among visitors. Number five, generic marketing messages. In the past, some destinations may have relied on generic marketing messages that highlight their natural beauty or cultural attractions without providing a clear and compelling value proposition for travelers. Today, many destinations are focusing on developing more targeted marketing campaigns that speak to specific traveler segments and highlight the unique experiences and offerings that set their destination apart from others. These are just a few examples of practices that may have become outdated or less effective in destination marketing due to the challenges faced by the tourism industry. By staying aware of changing consumer preferences and adapting to new trends and technologies, destination marketing organizations can continue to connect with travelers and promote their destinations effectively in the years to come.
Let's talk about the generic marketing messages you touched on. Can you give me examples of some generic messages that, if used today, might miss the mark?
Sure. Some examples of generic marketing messages that may miss the mark today include, number one, come and relax on our beautiful beaches. While many travelers do enjoy spending time on the beach, this message is quite generic and doesn't provide any real differentiation between one destination and another. Instead, a more targeted message might focus on specific activities or experiences that travelers can enjoy on the beach, such as surfing, snorkeling, or beachfront dining. Number two, discover our rich history and culture. While history and culture can be major draws for travelers, this message doesn't provide any real sense of what makes a destination unique or different from other places. Instead, a more effective message might highlight specific cultural attractions or events, such as museums, festivals, or cultural tours. Number three, escape the crowds and relax in our peaceful paradise. While many travelers may be looking to get away from the crowds and enjoy some peace and quiet, this message is quite generic and doesn't provide any real sense of what makes a destination unique or special. Instead, a more targeted message might focus on specific aspects of the destination that contribute to its peaceful and relaxing atmosphere, such as natural beauty, wellness offerings, or outdoor activities. Number four, experience the best food and drink in our destination. While food and drink can be a major draw for travelers, this message is quite generic and doesn't provide any real sense of what makes a destination's culinary offerings unique or special. Instead, a more effective message might highlight specific types of cuisine or local specialties that are particularly popular or distinctive. By focusing on specific aspects of a destination that set it apart from others and tailoring marketing messages to appeal to specific traveler segments, destination marketing organizations can create more effective and compelling marketing campaigns that resonate with travelers and drive visitation.
Do you have examples of destinations whose messaging is more specific instead of using the generic terms you mentioned?
Yes, there are many destinations that have moved away from generic marketing messages and instead have focused on highlighting their unique offerings and experiences to appeal to specific traveler segments. Here are a few examples. Number one, Iceland. Instead of marketing themselves solely as a beautiful natural destination, Iceland has focused on promoting their unique experiences such as the Northern Lights, geothermal spas, and glacier hiking. They have also marketed themselves to specific traveler segments such as adventure seekers and nature enthusiasts. Number two, New Zealand. New Zealand has positioned itself as the ultimate destination for outdoor adventure and has marketed their experiences such as bungee jumping, skydiving, and hiking. They have also promoted their unique Maori culture, food and wine experiences, and sustainable tourism practices. Number three, Costa Rica. Costa Rica has positioned themselves as the ultimate sustainable tourism destination and has marketed their eco-lodges, wildlife tours, and sustainable tourism practices to travelers who value responsible travel. They have also marketed their unique experiences such as zip lining through the rainforest and surfing on world-class beaches. Number four, Japan. Japan has marketed itself as a unique cultural destination and has highlighted their traditional festivals, temples, and cuisine. They have also marketed their unique pop culture experiences, such as anime and manga, to younger travelers. By focusing on specific experiences and offerings and tailoring marketing messages to appeal to specific traveler segments, these destinations have been able to stand out from the competition and attract more visitors.
How about destinations within the United States?
Certainly. Here are some examples of U.S. destinations that have adopted more specific and targeting marketing messages. Number one, Austin, Texas. Austin has positioned itself as the live music capital of the world and has marketed its music festivals, iconic music venues, and local music scene to travelers who are passionate about music and entertainment. They have also marketed their unique food and drink offerings, such as barbecue and craft beer, and their outdoor activities, such as hiking and kayaking on the Colorado River. Number two, New Orleans, Louisiana. New Orleans has marketed itself as a cultural melting pot with a rich history and vibrant art scene. They have highlighted their unique architecture, jazz music, and Mardi Gras celebrations and have marketed themselves to travelers who are interested in history, culture, and nightlife. Number three, Charleston, South Carolina. Charleston has positioned itself as a charming and historic southern city with beautiful architecture, stunning gardens, and award-winning cuisine. They have marketed their historic landmarks, such as Fort Sumter and the Magnolia Plantation, as well as their culinary experiences, such as low country cuisine and farm-to-table dining. Number four, Park City, Utah. Park City has marketed itself as the ultimate outdoor adventure destination with world-class skiing and snowboarding in the winter and mountain biking and hiking in the summer. They have also highlighted their luxury accommodations, such as ski-in, ski-out condos, and mountain lodges, and have marketed themselves to travelers who are looking for a high-end outdoor experience. By focusing on their unique offerings and experiences and marketing themselves to specific traveler segments, these destinations have been able to stand out in a crowded market and attract more visitors.
What about smaller destinations in the United States?
Smaller destinations within the United States have also adopted specific marketing messages to attract visitors. Here are a few examples. Number one, Sedona, Arizona. Sedona has positioned itself as a spiritual and wellness destination with its stunning red rock formations and unique energy vortexes. They have marketed their wellness retreats, yoga studios, and spas, as well as their outdoor activities such as hiking and mountain biking. Number two, Mackinac Island, Michigan. Mackinac Island has marketed itself as a charming and historic island destination with no cars allowed on the island, only horse-drawn carriages and bicycles for transportation. They have highlighted their historic hotels, such as the Grand Hotel, as well as their unique experiences, such as fudge making and butterfly watching. Number three, Traverse City, Michigan. Traverse City has marketed itself as a food and wine destination with its picturesque vineyards, orchards, and farm-to-table restaurants. They have promoted their wine and beer festivals, culinary tours, and cherry orchard experiences. Number four, Bar Harbor, Maine. Bar Harbor has marketed itself as a coastal outdoor adventure destination with its proximity to Acadia National Park and its hiking trails, kayaking tours, and whale-watching excursions. They have also highlighted their charming downtown area with its unique shops, restaurants, and galleries. By focusing on their unique offerings and experiences, these smaller destinations have been able to differentiate themselves from larger destinations and appeal to specific traveler segments.
What are some upcoming trends that will affect travel?
There are several upcoming trends that are likely to have a significant impact on travel in the coming years. Here are a few. Number one, sustainable and responsible travel. Travelers are becoming increasingly aware of the environmental impact of travel and are seeking out destinations and travel experiences that are more sustainable and responsible. This includes using eco-friendly transportation, supporting local businesses and communities, and reducing waste and carbon emissions. Number two, digital nomadism. With the rise of remote work, more and more people are able to work from anywhere, leading to a trend of digital nomadism. This means that people are able to travel and work at the same time, leading to longer stays in destinations and a desire for more comfortable and functional workplaces.
So ChatGPT, I'm actually going to go ahead and stop you here. And it goes on to have three more. What's interesting is it seems like every time you ask for a list of ideas, it always gives you five. But I'm actually feeling, yeah, I feel like we've maybe done a pretty good smattering of like question asking and prompting and then seeing what ChatGPT responds with. For anyone that would be interested in hearing the full transcript or reading the full transcript, we're actually going to post that transcript in Destination Marketers LinkedIn group. So what I don't want to do is go on so long that it maybe doesn't turn into be as interesting of an episode as we'd like it to be. But the conversation goes on for a lot longer. And I thought the answers were fascinating, and I thought you did a wonderful job with your reading. It's really been coming along.
Well, thanks. I've been practicing.
Yeah, I'm very, very impressed with your progress. So JP, I'd like to go ahead and just kind of let's maybe wrap that up for this episode. Before we dive into your analysis for next time, why don't you just give me something that stood out to you as you read through this transcript?
Yeah, I think it was interesting, especially because we've been talking a lot about this at the agency, Adam, is that some tenets from Destinations International's community shared values seem to come out in a lot of these answers. For instance, when we were talking about some of the outdated practices and, this language model's interpretation of it, there's a lot of things that talk about bettering that resident experience to improve the visitor experience. We're talking about overcrowding, over tourism, less of a reliance on international tourism. It's interesting how it's taken some of the data surrounding COVID-19 and applied it to this. And it's, we're things that we're seeing in the industry. So I think it was interesting that it's up to, or at least incorporating some of those tenets from that idea.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And there was a couple of places where I felt like that kind of shined through as well. However, I thought it was kind of fascinating that that specific term, with how much it's been used in the industry of community shared value, that it didn't actually make its way into this conversation. And that really could have had to do with my prompts, that maybe I wasn't specific enough and maybe I didn't tailor it enough to destination marketing organizations, but I kind of would have expected that term to come through.
Yeah, it's interesting. It makes me wonder too, you hear about these massive data models that these are working from, and it makes you take a moment to think about where these answers are being pulled from. Obviously, as we incorporate more of these AI assistants or entities into our workflow, it's important to be thinking about things like that. I think there's, especially at this point in time where this is kind of the Wild West in terms of the potential opportunities and doors that are opened here, but it's important to be always considering where are these answers coming from. And I think that's, especially true just anytime that we're involving AI or language models.
I've got a lot more thoughts on this topic, JP, especially on, artificial intelligence and how it's going to affect our daily lives in the destination marketing industry. How can we as destination marketers use it effectively and what we have to look forward to? ChatGPT and I are going to dive a lot deeper into this in our next episode. Remember, we're also going to post the link to the full transcript here in the Destination Marketers LinkedIn group. So I hope everybody will go check that out because we got through about a third of the conversation. In the meantime, we're going to temporarily sign off because we're going to be resuming this conversation next week. So ChatGPT, thank you for joining me today.
ChatGPT says thank you. I also asked ChatGPT how to sign off on a podcast. Thank you for having me on your podcast. It was a pleasure sharing my thoughts and ideas with your audience. I appreciate the opportunity to connect and engage with your listeners, and I hope that our conversation was insightful and valuable for them. Please feel free to reach out to me if you ever need any further insights or information on the topic we discussed. Thank you again, and I look forward to staying in touch.
Well, you know what? That was very polite and kind, ChatGPT. Thank you so much, and we will talk to you a little bit more next week.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it.
Okay, everybody, I've got to imagine that by now you know who Band Wango is, and I'm really proud to announce that they are a sponsor here on the Destination Marketing Podcast. Band Wango has an incredible business. I'm really good friends with Mo, their CEO, and I love their vision for what not only what they've done in the industry, but where they're headed. You're spending all this money to get people to your destination. What is your plan to monetize and measure their activity once they come to the destination? Band Wango builds passes that do just that. I'm going to give you an example of one of those passes. They worked with Visit Mesa, and they partnered with a local influencer named Lacey Kane and her brand Wild Joy to promote their adventure pass that they hosted through Band Wango. The passport launched in November of 2022, and this adventure passport for the city of Mesa includes 21 different adventures, 8 of which are curated and endorsed by Lacey Kane herself. And in 5 months, that passport has captured more than 600 signups and more than 400,000 Facebook and Instagram impressions. If you want results like that, where you actually get to have a pass that can generate that kind of measurability, that kind of data, and demonstrable results for your stakeholders, make sure to think about making Band Wango part of your budget. If you want to learn more about the Mesa case study or Band Wango specifically, go to bandwango.com/DMP. Let them know that you heard them here on my show and that you want access to the Mesa case study. And if you haven't yet built a pass for yourself, I think it's time to consider it. bandwango.com/DMP.